We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, DJ Never Forget. Terry Diabolik is still out. He's actually shooting today for the new pilot for his Science Channel, and we wish him the best of luck. We have a very, very good show on this very fall, very cold, gray, rainy Brooklyn. Anything I'm missing?
No.
Yeah, dark type of day. Nasty, but it is, I guess, you know, summer finally has to come to an end, and I believe we have hit it. Today on the show, we have very special live acoustic performances by Frankie Rose and the Outs. They are setting up with our acoustic guitars as we speak, and we're talking about the new record, and you can pull that microphone over. Yeah, you can do that. You each have your own. Yeah.
Ooh, here you go, Mark.
Yeah, there it is. We'll talk about the record coming out, playing acoustic for the first time in 10 years, and all other things, Brooklyn, and being a band. How's that sound?
Well, sounds awesome.
And then we also have the good Reverend David, David Ciciano, who runs Burger Conquest, and we are slowly, patiently awaiting his call. And thanks for coming in, girls.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
how's
us.
How's it feel to sit with the acoustic?
I don't know. I honestly think I might have played an acoustic like 4 times in my life. So this will be an experiment.
This is the true debut of Frankie and the Oats.
Frankie and, oh, you want to tell the Frankie
band.
And the Oats story?
Oh, yes. Northside Festival was one of our first kind of bigger shows. And on the posters, it said Frankie and the Oats, not Frankie and the Outs. So, yeah.
It's our acoustic side project.
It's our acoustic alt country band.
Perfect.
Debuting here.
Speaking of side projects, you know that we do a million things here on Snacky Tunes, and we actually have an EP coming out next week on our label, which is Travis Hayden's new record label, and we wanted to play a track on here that we haven't played yet. It's actually the Treasure Fingers remix, who you've heard on Snacky Tunes before, his remix of our lead single, Feeling Right. We're going to play that, and then we're going to come back with the Reverend Dave from Burger Conquest.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. That was just the Treasure Fingers remix of Feeling Right, out on the Punches Sleepless City EP next week. If you hear some tuning in the background, it is because we have Frankie Rose in the outs tuning some recently found acoustic guitars for their in-studio performance today. It'll be great. But before that, we have the Reverend Dave from Burger Conquest on the phone. Dave, you there?
I am.
Dave, hey, thanks for being patient with us today. It's a bit of a rain and always seems to slow things down in Brooklyn.
God bless. I think it slows down all of New York City. Weather in general just slows down New York City.
I would agree. So welcome to Snacky Tunes. I first encountered your love of burgers when we were watching the metal burger truck through Williamsburg earlier this summer.
The Grill 'Em All truck.
Yes, from there I followed some of your exploits and started following you on Twitter. But for our listeners who don't know who you are, why don't you tell us a little bit about Burger Conquest and its origins?
Well, it started as a joke, and to understand where it came from, I sort of have to tell you two other short stories. About 5 years ago, a friend of mine and I got in an argument while we were out having a beer over where were the best hot wings in New York City. And the argument got pretty heated, and it ended with both he and I saying, okay, well, let's go eat at your place, and then we'll go eat at my place, and whoever is the winner, you know, we'll declare the best wings in the city. And he goes, fine, we'll have a wing off. So we did it, and we took all the friends that were with us that night watching us argue, and we had the best time. And at the end of it, even though the place I chose lost, my other friend looked at me and said, we should do this all the time. Let's find the best. Huh?
No, I'm just laughing. Sorry.
He said, we should do this all the time. Let's find the best wings in New York City. So back in 2007, we set up a bracket challenge, did a lot of research, and found all the best wings in New York City, and we've been eliminating them one by one by one to get down the championship. And the reason I tell that story is there's one rule with Wing Off, and that's no women are allowed. So I do that. A couple years later, me and a couple other friends started a professional steak club called Steak Club 7. It's at steakclub7.com. And, you know, once a month, the seven of us get together and we go eat steak and we've been interviewed and we run a website and yada, yada. There's one cardinal rule there. Nobody is allowed but the seven of us. So to get to the origin of Burger Conquest, I was out having burgers with some friends of mine on July 20th of 2008. And someone was like, you know, you have all these food sites, and like nobody can have, you know, none of us can go eat with you. It's not, you're not fun. It's, you know, all these elitist clubs you have. Why don't you start something that everybody can be a part of? And I literally looked at my friends and said, let's start a burger website. And they're like, that's the dumbest idea ever. And 3 months later, Burger Conquest was born. Just to get my friends to leave me alone.
Just to get them. Everyone just wanted to join in on the meal, it seems like.
Yep.
You know, the Burger Conquest, I mean, how many burgers have you, I mean, I've been reading through this, and there's so many entries. How many burgers you said you've reviewed and conquered for the site?
I haven't done a count since January 1st of this year, but I know that there's about 329 posts on the website. Mm-hmm. So they're not all story. They're not all related to eating burgers, but there's sometimes that are, you know, go to White Castle and have six burgers, and sometimes I go to McDonald's and have one burger, and so. It's definitely a lot, and I can only count them once a year because it's a lot. I go two or three times a week.
Right. And you know, I mean, it's interesting. You have everything, like you said, from White Castle to McDonald's, which are just kind of, you know, as foodies on the show, we kind of maybe look down our noses a little bit, all the things down to, like, food trucks to, you know, very expensive burgers. What do you feel kind of separates these burgers, and do you give them all, can you even judge them on the same criteria when they're coming from such different places?
Yeah, I don't discriminate when it comes to burgers. I just like the burger in general. Of course, I would rather have, you know, a proprietary blend of something that was ground that morning, freshly made with an artisan bun and, you know, organic cheese. Yeah, that sounds awesome. But, you know, there are points in time where you just can't have that. And, you know, this country was founded on the McDonald's burger, was founded on the White Castle burger. And, you know, I look at it as a, you know, respecting the culture, respecting your elders type of thing. You know, 9.5 times I'm not going to go for a Burger King burger over something, you know, local and fresh, but there's room for all of them. As far as a rating system, I developed this right from the beginning. I said, I'm going to judge everything on a 10-point system, and we'll do 10 ounces. Because to me, the minute you get an 11-ounce burger or higher, it's harder to cook it perfectly. So it's a 10-ounce system, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst. I've never given a 10, and I don't intend to. I always like to leave room for improvement, and if you ever find me give somewhere a 10, that'll be the last review I ever write, because there'll be nothing else to look for.
So it's like a 10-ounce, and then the site is shut down the next day. Pretty much.
Or
it'll just be the password will be changed and you won't be able to log back in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I always say the glorious pursuit of delicious burgers. There'll be no more pursuit.
Right. So, you know, I'm looking at your best burgers, and obviously the ones in New York have the favorites, you know, Shake Shack's in there, the Rub BBQ, but it's the outside ones that kind of I'm curious about. Do you travel to these, or is it kind of like, you know, you just happen to be there for something else, or you know, how far do these burgers take you across the country?
I mean, I won't lie. I am not opposed to traveling somewhere just to eat a burger, and I certainly have found excuses to travel other places just to eat something I'm super curious about. Like, I went to the Scion Rockfest last February just because I was dying to eat at the Vortex in Atlanta. But fortunately for my job, which is in the music business, I manage bands and I do ticketing and fan clubs. I travel a lot.
Right.
So I'm constantly in other towns and other countries and other places for meetings or for whatever. And so when I'm there, I'm always trying burgers. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where, And there's very few reviews on the website where it's just me. It's almost me and always me and friends. And as you see at the bottom of each review, there's a picture of me with all my friends. And so a lot of those people are my business contacts or people I need to have a meeting with. So we just meet over burgers and talk about burgers, and you know, it becomes like a fun thing. But as far as reach, I mean, there's burgers on there from London, Amsterdam, Buenos Aires, Anchorage. There's a million from New York and California, you know, Texas, Michigan, Canada. I mean, anywhere I go, I'm eating a burger. There's one in Mexico.
Amazing. You know, one of the best burgers I've ever had, and I'm curious if you ever had it, was in Atlanta, was at this place called Miss Ann's Snack Shack, home of the Ghetto Burger. And I'm wondering if you have made it to that. If not, then I would have to highly recommend it.
No, but I'm writing this down, Miss Ann's Snack Shack.
It's pretty much a woman has been running the stand for about 35 years, and I went with a friend just to try. We heard about it. It's maybe just, you know, 10 seats at a counter, and I had a photo of it as my background on my computer for about 6 months, and then I feel like, you know, it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So I would like to extend that recommendation to you, and also for you to tell me about the Old Homestead Burger and why it's what's sitting at the top of your list.
Technically, the Old Homestead is not at the top of the list. I just have six. They happen to be listed alphabetically.
Ah, okay.
So I get a lot of flack for that. People are like, oh, you should rate the number one. I'm like, you know what? New York City has so many great burgers. To just pick out one is not fair to right. You know, the burger palate. But the Old Homestead Burger, specifically, they do two burgers there. They have the regular one, and then they have a Kobe. Do not get the Kobe. It's $50, and it is not worth it. The regular steakhouse burger is literally made from a combination of ground beef and you know, cut from the steak. So it's a little fattier than their steak because it's the fat from the steaks. But you're literally eating, you know, steak meat in a burger, and it's thick. It's not too big. It's really, really juicy. If you get it medium rare, it's cooked just right because they're using literally the Old Homestead steak meat, which is some of the best steak in New York City.
That sounds great. Dave, thank you so much. The website is burgerconquest.com. What is the Twitter is of the same name?
Burger Conquest.
Burger Conquest. Thank you so much. Will you be hosting any events? Are there any good burger events coming up that our listeners should know about?
This Friday is the Rachel Ray Burger Bash underneath the Brooklyn Bridge for the Food Network New York Food and Wine Festival. I'll be there. So if anybody is there, you can come down and find me.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us on Snacky Tunes, and hopefully we'll get to join you for another burger in the near future.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Big shout out to the Reverend Dave. We have Frankie Rose in the outs chomping on some pizza, or devouring. I don't even know what I would call
Healing?
That. Yeah. Unhinging of the jaw.
I think there's an egg on that pizza.
There is an egg on that pizza. Is that a good or a bad?
I'm not an egg fan. Oh. Runny eggs, not my thing. But Margo will eat it.
I don't know. I'm a little scared. But maybe I'll overcome my fear. But
yeah, maybe. Well, we have you sitting here. I was going to play something recorded in case you girls weren't ready. But if you're ready, do you want to kick it off?
I don't know if these are in tune. It's in question.
It's in question. Well,
they're close.
It's pretty close, I guess.
We could try to do one.
All right. Well, all right. Let's try one.
All right. Which one should we do?
Do you want to save me?
Whoa.
No?
Let's do Must Be Nice.
Must Be Nice.
Maybe.
Okay.
Get this in a shot.
Water so that I can drink it. Live drinking. Okay, ready?
We're so happy to be careless and free, aren't we? We're so joyous to be, 'cause we never know misery. La 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 ni na da. We're be, 'cause we never know misery. La 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 la.
Oh boy, this is gonna be solo.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Yay.
So why don't you give our listeners a little bit of a background on how you got to be Frank Rose in the Outs, where you started, how you got here.
Oh my goodness. Well, we met on a pig farm. Just kidding. No, I don't know. We've all been kind of been friends for a while. So
there's four of everyone. You normally.
There's four of us.
Just you and Margaret.
We have
today.
A rhythm section.
Yes.
Yeah.
Usually. Yeah, no, we've all kind of been friends for a while, so I approached everyone as my friends, being like, let's play some songs.
And who does the main, the four of you? Is it a group effort of songwriting? Is it you?
It's mostly me. Yeah, I come in with a demo, and then we all work on it together. So,
oh,
yeah.
Awesome. And so for the listeners, you used to be in a number of other Brooklyn bands.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Anyway, you can... I only say that because people will like to know where you come from, but you can do your research.
Outer space.
Outer space. We can leave it at that. So as we were talking before, your record just came out,
mm-hmm.
which is very exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday, to very well-received reviews.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not, you know,
I don't, well...
Not earth-shattering, but good.
Yeah.
Nothing bad was said, I think.
No. In this day and age, with, like, everybody has an opinion...
I know.
Nothing bad is, like, really good.
I really saw nothing bad, which is crazy. I don't know, you know.
I mean, there might be the chance people just like the record.
Maybe.
Which will eventually, I feel like, will sink in over time.
Sometime after a week.
Less than a week. Yeah, I guess it's only been 6 days. And you were just on the road for this, and where in our fine country did you play?
We went to California.
Yeah.
Just to California. we did 7 days with a day off, and we spent a lot of that time either at a pool or the beach.
Oh, very nice. And do you girls, as you can tell, this is a food and music show. Do you girls like to eat?
Oh, yes. Man. Too much.
Too much?
I mean.
What is, there's four. Are you all, or you eat meat? Do the other two, are they vegetarians?
Everybody, I think, is an omnivore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what is, like, a typical band dinner, like, maybe after a practice or on the road?
We like to go to tacos a lot.
Tacos are when a big we're one.
Everywhere, actually, California and New York, we get a lot of tacos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious because where in Brooklyn could you go repeatedly? Because I find myself going to like the same spots over and over and over.
For
again.
Tacos, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a debate amongst us.
I
still like the Endless Summer Taco Truck. The fish tacos there, I think, are like unparalleled. To be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
but Caroline liked the one on North 7th of
Taco
Bedford.
Trucks are good, though. There's one at the Woods Bar on
that,
South
on our,
4th
really
Street.
On our very first show,
yeah.
We declared that the best
That's,
taco truck of all time.
It's pretty good.
And never reopened the debate. So anybody that agrees with us just kind of adds fuel to that fire. Keeps it burning a little bit.
I think that's my favorite in Brooklyn.
I was legitimately upset when they disappeared. I couldn't find them for like the month between like realizing they had gone to the woods and they had disappeared from that because it was just on North 3rd in Bedford for a while.
Yeah,
and then they disappeared. And now your Endless Summer has taken up
just
the
fish taco.
Just the fish taco.
I mean, it's pretty awesome. You have to wait like 15 minutes to get it.
Do you really?
Well, they say 8 minutes, but it's usually like 15 minutes.
And that's well worth it.
It's a good taco.
And so, and I mean, you started out with this band not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you formed a year.
Our first show was on Halloween last year with Light Asylum.
Oh, who we love.
We love.
I mean, we played our record. It was at the Woods.
Oh.
Yeah.
So. This episode today brought to you by the Woods and how rad they've been last year. Go there. Have a pickleback. I was actually there last week drinking picklebacks. So your first show was almost a year ago.
Yeah.
And was it just you or was it the four of you?
It's everybody.
It was everybody. So like right from the get-go, it was the four of you. That's amazing.
Caroline was dressed up like Dolly Parton. Who were you?
I was dressed up like Joan from Mad Men.
Yeah. And then like me and Kate were dressed up. No, I was a misfit earlier then. I was one of the misfits, but it didn't translate.
It didn't translate? Mm. Maybe if all of you, had done...
hair.
No, I didn't have the devil lock going, I think. By that time, it faded, so...
So it's been a year, and I mean, it seems like since you have had past bands, how do you feel like things have gone from, you know, having that past success, but then starting something new? Do you feel it was easier this time around, or it's like you kind of had to, like, rebuild?
Well, it's weird. It's like kind of a double-edged sword, because, yeah, people already know who I am, but... it's sort of all anyone ever wants to talk about is like the old bands, which kind of have nothing to do with this project. So it's kind of, it's weird. I'm grateful for it, but like that, you know, it is a little bit easier for me to get this project off the ground.
Mm. But then you still have to stand on your own 2 feet.
Exactly.
You have to release a record that's not too bad.
Yeah.
In your
not
own
too
words.
Bad.
Not too bad.
Hey,
not too bad. So I know, I mean, how many songs can we squeeze out of these acoustic guitars?
I think... This is a real experiment.
Yeah.
I think maybe two.
Two more?
Maybe.
All right.
Or one more?
Let's do two more.
Two more.
Let's do two more.
Let's give
so,
it a shot, I guess.
You listen to Frankie Rose and the Outs, or the Oats today.
The Oats.
The acoustic folk stripped down.
It's actually only one oat. It's me. Yeah.
Frankie Rose and the Oat. on a very rainy Brooklyn day on Snacky Tunes. Big shout out to Roberta's and Jack Inzy and Rec Tech for making us sound good. And
Candy.
Yeah.
Here we go. Appropriate all for right. A food show.
Yeah,
totally.
Can we? Oh, can we? You're my one true love. I've waited for. Oh, can we? Can we, oh, can we, you're my one true love I've waited for, oh, can we?
Oh,
all the time, for all time, will you still love? Gotta love it.
Frankie Rose and the Outs on Snacky Tunes. I feel like we kind of like do trial by fires here. It's like, oh, have you been playing music for a long time? We'd like to put you in a totally new situation with instruments you hardly ever play. And yeah. But that was great. I personally enjoyed that.
I guess save me is easy. I can... Should we try one more, or is this painful?
No, this is great. Well, you know, we'll talk a little bit more, and then we'll take the show out, and we'll close with that. How's that sound like a plan? So, you know, it's October in New York, which means that CMJ is upon us, and I'm wondering if people can't see that face, Frankie.
The most magical time,
unless you're actually a band from New York City, and you're just like, is it South by Southwest? time yet. For us, it's like work and play, and it's not too special. But that being said, do you have anything set up for CMJ?
We do. We are only doing one show because...
That's how you do it.
That's how
you do it.
We're doing it. Yeah. This time around. And it's with our best pals, Light Asylum, at Coco 66 on the 22nd, and also with an amazing woman and band, Tamarin. Her record just came out the same day as ours, and she's out of San Francisco, and it's going to be an awesome show. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to playing with them.
I hadn't been in Coco 66 until the night that we met when they redid it, and I kept thinking, I was like, why are people throwing stuff here that places... awful, and then I realized that I had been on the road for too long. It's amazing now. It's like a real venue. Sorry to the previous Coco 66.
It sounds good. Well, before it was just like it was like there was a ping pong table back there. What else was back there? Nothing really.
No one
went there.
No one went there.
But it's pretty cool now.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited. Is it just the three of you?
I think just the three of us and Patrick Sandberg from DIS Magazine. I don't know if you know him, but he's DJing. So that'll be cool.
It's awesome. Is it official or anyone?
It's official. Oh, I don't know. What do you mean, is it official?
Like, is it officially part of CMJ or is it just happening during CMJ?
I don't even know. I think it's official.
Margo?
Does it matter? What does it mean?
Technically, it means that if you have a badge and you get there early enough, you can get in. But it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't really mean... Sorry, CMJ. I'm not trying to be mean to CMJ. It's a great opportunity for a lot of bands, but for people who live here, it's kind of just like another week that's very crowded.
Yeah.
And all the places that you like to go drink are packed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a lot of amateur hour. It's like a week. It's like a week-long weekend. How's that sound?
It's a weird thing.
There was a couple years ago when it fell on Halloween, and it was just like the perfect storm of just no.
It's fun if you're not from here.
Yeah. When I wasn't here and I came, it was great. It was like everyone drinks for 24 hours and like there's great music all the time. When you live here, you're like everyone drinks for 24 hours and there's great music all the time and there's just more people.
Yeah, it's just more to do in a city where there's plenty to do all the time.
Yes.
So.
As it is. So any future touring coming up besides the one you just came off of?
Yeah, we're actually, that's funny because we're going to be on tour when we come through and do our CMJ show. It's sort of like right in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah. We're going to do an East Coast tour with Woven Bones.
Very cool.
I guess it's East Coast. It's to Chicago and back.
East Coast, and Midwest.
Midwest. Yeah. And then go to Europe in November.
Oh, fantastic.
December, yeah.
By the way, if you do go to Chicago, speaking of burgers, Kummer Burgers. Have you been there before?
No.
It's the heavy metal burger bar.
Oh,
yeah,
perfect.
I'm pretty sure they have a Danzig and a burger or any type
Danzig burger.
Yeah. Oh.
What's on the Danzig burger?
I don't know. Yeah, like? They have like like the Lamb of God burger and the Metallica and like Neurosis burger and
a Neurosis burger.
Yeah, I know.
What's on that?
I don't know. Hatred.
No, it would. I feel like it wouldn't be like made of a cow.
They're all made of cows. Okay. I mean, it's still a burger place. But it's pretty, I mean, but yeah, I think one might be lamb.
Slaughtered lamb.
Yes, yeah. But it's pretty rad. The music's really loud and they're all like metal. And it's it's not like fake. It's real. It's real. It's real. So why don't we have you play, before we do that, if I was listening right now and I wanted to go, hey, I would like to buy that record that got not bad reviews, where would I go?
Well, if you wanted to go online, you can buy it from InSound. They're lovely. Or it should be in record stores. It should be in your local record store. It's at Academy Records. Get out of there. Yeah, it should be at Academy.
That's a fly they're talking to.
It's at Academy. Probably buy it from Slumberland, the record label. Oh, yeah.
You can go straight to Slumberland website.
Correct, and buy the source. It there.
And I don't know.
All right.
Our show? Come
yes.
There.
Come visit us.
And tour dates and everything on MySpace.
Pretty much. MySpace is such a jerk to update.
Right.
You know? There's got to be something else.
Just to download from the mind.
Yeah.
Interns.
Ooh.
That's like.
Gonna get me one of those.
That's on the next. If you'd like to be Frankie's intern and tune and carry acoustic guitars and shoe away flies, the opportunity is yours and colleges will love you and your friends will think you're awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us on the show on this very, very fall day. And what are you going to take us out with?
We're going to give this one a shot. It's called Save Me. Oh, boy.
Okay, ready?
I think so. No.
Sorry.
No, we're not
this
trying.
Sounds
to,
better.
We're not trying to kill these people.
Okay,
is it better?
Yeah, I think so.
If it's not better, we're gonna quit, and then we're gonna make him play something
part,
from the record.
This part we can edit down.
Okay.
So
okay,
when cool. I just said to save me, okay, just edit it. It'd be fine in the podcast.
In fact, if that's the case, then I have to.
This string. Okay. I guess it's close enough.
Seriously. Lord, have mercy.
This is surreal.
This is the real deal.
It's really raw.
Whatever. I'll play quiet.
Okay.
Save me. I'll do.
The following episode of Snacky Tunes was sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to www.hearstranch.com. Thanks for listening.